Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. I remember it being a bit overwhelming. I originally went off to college wide-eyed, ready to become a teacher. I sat in a few education courses, not being educated, actually, but, you know, going into the course where you're teaching and learning about education, and realized very quickly it wasn't for me. I wasn't going to enjoy that subject, but it was overwhelming. There were the theories of John Dewey, Montessori, even Jean Piaget and others, and they were all being laid out there. Now, there's nothing wrong with studying these things, but are those methods, those theories espoused by those educational giants, as many regard them, are those theories and methods neutral? We usually worry about the content, the classroom content, the curriculum of what's being taught there, and that's a good thing to concern ourselves with. But when you walk into the Education 101 classroom, what about those educational theories? It's part five of our series on classroom apologetics today. We're in the Education 101 classroom. Dr. Thomas Korchak joins us. He's Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University of Chicago and author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Dr. Korchak, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, it's good to be here, Todd.
How would you respond to someone who says, you know, I understand a Christian's concern over the content of the classroom teaching and the subject matter that's taken up there, but the method, the system or the theory of education, that's neutral. How would you respond?
That type of thinking is actually really quite new. If you go back prior to the 20th century, if you go back for 2,000 years of educational thought when the church has been involved, they've never looked at any educational theory as being theologically neutral. Education and pedagogy is there to prepare the mind to receive a particular way of thinking and a particular theology. And so it's only when you get to the last part of the 19th century and into the 20th century that those who wish to divorce the church from education and those who wish to divorce theology from pedagogy and from education started to say, well, this is all very neutral. It has no impact whatsoever on what a person believes, because what we have has been proven scientifically. And this really grows out of the whole thrust of the late 19th and 20th century of modernity, and that everything could be proven by science and by research.
What did we have by way of, I guess, if for lack of a better word, Dr. Korchak, a Christian standard for the idea of education before the modern theories came along?
Well, our Lutheran confessors, they all, in the confession, they started with, we teach, believe, and confess. And so that was always at the very heart of determining whether a person's ideas or whether a teacher, him or herself, was acceptable in a Christian classroom. Because if what a person taught, believed, and confessed was contrary to the Christian faith, then the way they taught would also be contrary to the Christian faith. And so that standard really determined what was acceptable and what was not acceptable then in a Christian classroom.
Let's talk about some of the theories that the student entering the college or university education department and kind of the Education 101 classroom is going to encounter. Beginning with, and here we kind of have to bring ourselves up to the 20th century, beginning with John Dewey, who is he, and what is his theory of education?
Sure. Well, first of all, John Dewey is not Thomas Dewey. Thomas Dewey is a father of the Dewey Decimal System, and a lot of people get the two confused. I'm all for the Dewey Decimal System. I think it's great. But John Dewey is called the father of American education. And his ideas that he put forth in the late 19th century and early 20th century really established the basis for education through the 20th and into the 21st century. Now, what's important is that John Dewey also wrote considerable amount of material on theology. He had very strong theological views, though I would dare say they were not Christian in any way, shape, or form. John Dewey was one of the fathers of secular humanists. He was a signer of the Humanist Manifesto. And he believed that religion, particularly the Christian religion, was antithetical to true learning. In fact, he believed that Christianity stifled and was an enemy of democracy. Ironically, he made a couple trips over to Soviet Russia in the 1920s, and he came back writing about how America should copy Soviet Russia and their educational system, because this was the true beacon to true democracy. Didn't work out too well, I guess. But Dewey had a couple of things. He talked about how we had to get away from this idea that there was authority, that there was an objective right and wrong, a true, a falsehood, and that children were born sinful. For Dewey, children were born good, and we had to let children lead the way into their own knowledge.
What kind of a system did that end up producing with him?
Yes. So the system that came out of Dewey's thought, it was called progressive education. And progressive education really takes hold in American education through the 20th century. And while the term is not often used in many educational courses, a lot of the concepts form the staple for the methods that are used in American classrooms today. And so he stressed that children learn best from hands-on activity, that they should be allowed to discover what interested them the most, that education should be oriented towards equipping towards a real-life experience. Now, all of those, in and of themselves, there's nothing terribly objectionable about them, except that what he's trying to do is divorce a classical Christian understanding of education. And he's trying to get away from the idea that there is a revealed truth, and that revealed truth can be known through Scripture, and that it was important that we submit ourselves to authorities in order to learn what those authorities in their various areas had to teach us.
And if I were to say, going into the average educational classroom, is Dewey still, even under a different guise, that is, his ideas, are they still prevalent in modern education?
Oh, absolutely. It's foundational to modern educational systems. And yet, Dewey himself writes, he writes a document called My Pedagogical Creed, in which he says the purpose of these methods is to get rid of some belief in an all-powerful God. He said God's outdated, and we have to replace God with a logical, scientific understanding of the world, because all Christianity has done is set itself up as a spiritual aristocracy which has oppressed people. We've got to free them so that they can learn on their own and learn what they want to learn.
I remember walking, I actually began my college education supposing that I wanted to be a teacher. That did not work out, but I remember taking the first education courses at a Lutheran college, by the way, and being introduced to one Jean Piaget. There's a lot of emphasis put on his idea, what he thought we all, but in particular children, needed. Tell us about him.
Right, and I do have to say that I too took the same educational courses, and I'm somewhat charitable towards those who taught us, especially those Christians, because I don't think this information was ever really given to them. They were taught just about the methods and not the theology behind the methods, and so it was just kind of presented in that way. So I'm charitable in that I don't look at it as a malicious attempt or a sinister attempt to subvert the Christian faith, but it just kind of happened over time. Now, when you get to Piaget, it's interesting. Piaget is best known for his theory of cognitive development, and he's involved in what he calls genetic epistemology. So it's all a study about how we know and how children come to learn. And his theories on child development and how children know, childhood epistemology, have shaped teachers' understanding of the whole educational process. And so for Piaget, children progressed through these stages until they came to an understanding, a mature understanding of knowledge. What's interesting is that Piaget also, especially early in his career, wrote a considerable amount of stuff on theology. Piaget's original interest was in biology. He wanted to be a biologist. And as he studied biology, he had difficulty reconciling Christian theology with biology. And so early in his career, that became his goal, how he could explain theology from a biological point of view. And so he ends up with this very odd, mystic understanding of God. So we traditionally understand God to be outside of ourselves. God is transcendent, and God gives to us those things that we need. He works in our lives for good, but God is always outside of us. For Piaget, God is not a transcendent God, but God is this immanent God who's part of one grand evolutionary process whereby we're progressing towards an understanding of this God that is within us. And so for Piaget, the goal is to allow children to progress along this social evolutionary process where they will come to be at peace with the God that is within them. And this is very strong in Piaget's thought. Later on, as educational psychologists tend to ignore this part. I suspect they want to ignore it because it's kind of embarrassing that he's this big mystic. But late in his life, he still talks about coming to this profound revelation. He says, I came one evening, and he's talking as an older person now. He says, I recall one evening a profound revelation, the identification of God as life itself. It was an idea that stirred me to almost ecstasy because now it enabled me to see in biology the explanation of all things and of the mind itself. And so Piaget blends this mysticism with a biological understanding of knowledge so that now knowledge doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from outside of ourselves. Knowledge comes from inside of ourselves. It's something that we create. It's something that we construct.
So there is obviously a danger, and it sounds as though perhaps Piaget and Dewey would have gotten along beautifully together, at least in the education classroom, when it comes to the source of knowledge and how children are to acquire it.
Oh, absolutely. And they're all reading the same material. They're all heavily influenced by evolutionary thought and social evolutionary thought. It's an idea that runs through all the major educational theorists of the 20th century. It's this idea that we're all progressing, that society is progressing towards this utopian world, and that really what's holding society back are the old structures, and chief among those old structures is the Christian church. That is universally looked at as something that retards true growth and retards true spirituality.
Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest. It's part five of our series called Classroom Apologetics. Today we're in the Education 101 classroom talking about the various theories of education. So moving on from Piaget to Maria Montessori. I remember seeing a Montessori school that was sharing the facility with the Lutheran High School I attended in Dallas, Texas. It was hailed as an alternative method of education, an ingenious alternative method of education. Who was Maria Montessori, and what was her system? What were her ideas? We'll talk about that with Dr. Thomas Korchak right after this.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
The saints at Gethsemane Evangelical Lutheran Church in downtown Marion, Ohio, invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which He won for us in His perfect life, death, and resurrection. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:15 a.m. with a divine service following at 10:30. Visit our website, Gethsemane-LCMS.org, or find us on Facebook to learn more about our confessional, historical, and liturgical congregation.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the CLCC.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The CLCC.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's part five of our series, Classroom Apologetics. We're in the Education 101 classroom with Dr. Thomas Korchak, Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago, author of the book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. When I was attending a Lutheran high school in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Korchak, they, for a time, shared a facility with a Montessori school. I was unaware that there was actually a person, a Maria Montessori. Who was she? And what was her usually touted as alternative method and system of education all about? What were her ideas?
Right. Maria Montessori, she's a real interesting duck. That's an academic term, by the way. She's a Italian. She's Roman Catholic. At least that's her affiliation, and she develops a system of education that emphasizes caring, peaceful environments in which children learn what interests them at their own pace. In Montessori education, children are given opportunities to develop their potential, that they are given the freedom to learn as they want so that they can become engaged, competent, responsible, respectful citizens. And, well, who doesn't want that? But Montessori's method really is underpinned by a theological view of children. And Maria Montessori views children as little divine beings. She talks about children as spiritual embryos and spiritual energies that are seeking expression in the form of a human body within the physical and cultural world. And if we can nurture these spiritual embryos properly, then this divine nature is going to evolve and develop to the point where these children are going to be agents of divine redemption in the world. So in other words, it's going to be the children who are going to usher in an era of global peace and tranquility if only we can allow them to develop as they want to allow with a minimal amount of adult guidance.
So there's a very problematic view of the children themselves. The method itself I would take is also in itself problematic.
Yes, because it assumes that children are not sinful. In fact, it holds that children are innocent because they already have this divine energy, this divine embryo within them. It holds that knowledge can become or created by this divine being from within, so it leads to constructivism. Now, if you look at Maria Montessori from a theological point of view, it ends up she's a Gnostic, and that is an ancient church heresy. The Gnostics of old taught that there was an inner spiritual self, and it was at odds with the physical being. The Gnostics taught that salvation came when this inner spiritual self was enlightened. And that's exactly what Maria Montessori teaches as well. And it shapes the whole model. It shapes the whole approach. It's really hard for a teacher to stand and say, okay, I have the office of being a teacher. I stand here in place of God according to the fourth commandment. But really, you children are the authority here. You see how it just contradicts basic Christian classroom.
Let's talk a little bit then about the probably least known name in modern education theory, but perhaps one that needs to be noted and learned about, Lev Vygotsky.
Okay, that's pretty good. Lev Vygotsky. Lev Vygotsky, in the past 30 years, has become a very prominent figure in colleges of education. And he his theories about learning are taught to most every teacher candidate now. He's known for social constructivism. That's his theory. And it is this idea that we develop knowledge and we gain knowledge from the social constructs that we have. And like the others, he also holds to an evolutionary view of man, that we're progressing. What's not often talked about is that Lev Vygotsky was one of the chief architects of education in Soviet Russia. He came into his own in the 1920s. He was a Marxist-Leninist working in revolutionary Russia. And he worked under Joseph Stalin, and yet this idea is seldom ever talked about in our colleges of education.
What were his ideas then about how children ought to be educated?
Well, before you get to that, I want to stress how indebted he was to Marxism. he's held up as one of the leading educational psychologists of the 20th century. And yet he says Marxist psychology is not a school amidst schools. It is the only genuine psychology as a science. And he goes on to say a psychologist other than this, that is Marxist psychology, cannot exist. So he's anything but an unbiased researcher, right? He's there to say, how can we take Marxism and how can we bring it into a classroom? And so what he tries to do is, first of all, he organizes a classroom around the understanding of a Soviet collective. And so now it's the children that become the center of the classroom. The teacher is there just to kind of guide and direct the children so that they can be productive, efficient, cooperative workers. That's kind of the whole goal. He wants people to be children to develop into good little Soviet citizens, good little Marxist citizens. And so what you have growing out of that is a fascination by American educators of group work. And group work has almost completely taken over the classroom. Group work has become almost a monopoly in the way children are to be educated. Everything revolves around the group. And the group is the source of knowledge. The group is the place that wisdom is found. And this pervades our whole way of thinking. We don't look to authorities anymore for knowledge. We don't look to authorities for direction. We look to the group, which is a very socialist collective type mentality, and it grows right out of this whole Vygotsky type thinking.
How did a Marxist educational theory catch on in American classrooms?
That's really interesting, because after Vygotsky's death, he dies quite young. He dies of tuberculosis in 1934. He's mostly forgotten about in his own country. But a few decades later, his ideas are taken up with enthusiasm by American educators. In 1962, his work, it's called Thought and Language, is published. But when it's published, almost all the references for Marxism and Leninism are intentionally deleted from the translation. And so people start reading this and say, hey, this is pretty interesting. And then in the 70s, late 70s, there's another translation called Mind and Society. And this is enthusiastically received by American intellectuals, so much so that he's called by some to be the Mozart of psychology. And so at the very time when the Soviet system, a system which Vygotsky helped create, was crumbling under its own spiritual and ideological bankruptcy, his works are being taken over by American educators and saying, hey, this is how we should train children. And so it feeds into a postmodern neo-Marxist worldview, where the church is viewed as an oppressive organization, capitalism is bad, religion is a means of oppression, and study of the classic studies is viewed as archaic. Morality is a construct of the powerful, and the way we use language is really just a power struggle from the elites. So it changes the whole thrust of education. So now we have schools of thought that look at pedagogy strictly in terms of power, and how pedagogy in the past has been used to oppress minorities, and how we have to liberate these minorities to have their own voices. It's really quite remarkable how this all comes right out of Vygotsky's Marxist thought.
We're talking about Education 101 as part of our series on classroom apologetics. Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest, associate professor of theology at Concordia University of Chicago and author of the book Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. So we've talked about them, Dewey, Piaget, Montessori, Vygotsky. taken as a whole, what has the impact been of these theories of education, these methods of education, on both the educators who were educated in them and on the students who were taught by those educators? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name, or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website. Reformed.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel, from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in Him, our true rest, because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear His word and receive His gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey. Japan.
Australia. Canada.
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
It's our series, Classroom Apologetics. We're in the Education 101 classroom on this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Thomas Korchak is our guest, Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University Chicago and author of the book, Lutheran Education from Wittenberg to the Future. Folks, help us equip the priesthood of all believers by joining our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Membership benefits include the I Have Issues short sleeve t-shirt, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. And if you join by Reformation Day, that's the 31st of October, we'll also send you a limited edition Here I Stand long sleeve t-shirt. You can find out how to become a Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron by clicking the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses at issuesetc.org, or join by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Be sure to write Here I Stand shirt and your shirt size in the memo line of your check. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Dr. Korchak, taken as a whole, these theories of education and the proponents that we've talked about, John Dewey, John Piaget, Maria Montessori, Lev Vygotsky, taken as a whole, how would you summarize the impact that they have had in the classroom, both on the educators that were educated in them and on the students that they teach?
Well, I think the impact has been first of all felt in a rejection of the nature of man. We cannot now look at human beings as being fallen, sinful creatures who need to be repentant over their sin and need a savior from that sin. Because of this, they're all in this enlightenment, evolutionary type thought. For them, we start out neutral and we're growing towards this utopian society. And that's just not the type of world that Scripture describes. We are deeply fallen creatures in a deeply fallen world. And modern education just doesn't allow for that. Modern education does not allow that God reveals His wisdom both in Scripture and outside of Scripture. Now, I'm not saying that outside of Scripture God reveals saving wisdom. That is only found in Scripture. It is only found in Christ Jesus. But the church has always recognized that where there is wisdom, it's from God. And so whether it's found in an ancient pagan author or not, it doesn't matter. If it's true, if it's wisdom, it's from God. And you know it's wisdom when you can compare it to the wisdom in Scripture and see if it's saying the same thing. And so we've ditched a lot of the classics of Western civilization because we think they have nothing to tell us. In fact, we now view many of the classics as being detrimental to true learning. How often have you heard someone talk about, oh, they're just old dead white guys, right? To which I like to say, well, John Dewey and Jean Piaget and Lev Vygotsky are dead white guys. And they say, no, not those dead white guys. They refer to the ancient classics. And in some way, because they were men and because they were white, they have nothing to say to us anymore. And that's a shame. The other way that it has had a negative impact is in the way we understand language. That language is actually there to convey truth. Language is something that words is something that God used to convey His truth, and that gives words a certain sacred quality. These are the very tools that God Himself has used. Therefore, it is incumbent on me as a teacher to give children the tools to use language properly and use it well.
A couple final questions for you, Dr. Korchak. First of all, these educational thinkers that we've been talking about here, are they generally taught in an uncritical manner at most colleges and secular universities?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I'm sure there are the odd pockets here and there, but even the church has not raised its voice and questioned these. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but I think this is where the church should be active. And it should be the John the Baptist standing out in the wilderness and saying, look at what these people teach, believe, and confess. Most will ignore that voice, but I think Christians, especially Christian teachers, both in religious schools and in secular schools, need to hear that message for their encouragement and to aid them in being more critical educators.
And finally, what advice would you give to a Christian student who is an aspiring teacher sitting in one of these educational 101 courses at a secular university? What's your best advice?
I would say the best thing is to take what you're learning and take it critically. If what you're hearing doesn't feel right, now I don't want to get off on feelings, but if there's something deep in you that's saying, boy, this just doesn't sound right, it probably isn't, and there's a reason for that. And then go digging for the reasons. They're out there. I had a hard time digging up a lot of this information, but now with the availability of reading or resources, it's easier to find than ever before. But I've talked to a number of teachers who have said, when I went through school, you know, I learned these things, but it just didn't seem right to me, and I could never put my finger on it. Well, I think that is your Christian ethos that's coming out. I think that's the training that you've received, that the catechism is speaking to you at that moment, saying, this isn't working. There's a disconnect here. Every teacher has to write philosophies of education. And when you're writing them, I've talked to a number of teachers who will say, you know, when I was writing these philosophies of education, I was writing them to make them acceptable to the College of Ed, but it just didn't sound right to me. And if that's the case, listen to that voice and pursue it and explore it and dig deeper.
Dr. Thomas Korchak is Associate Professor of Theology at Concordia University, Chicago. He's author of the book Lutheran Education, From Wittenberg to the Future. You can find out more about this book under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Korchak, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Have a good day, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the final presidential debate with journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and the Federalist. We'll talk with Pastor Will Whedon about sacred space as part of our continuing series on setting the Lord's table. And we'll continue our series on the doctrine of justification in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. That's all Thursday on Issues Etc. Nothing more important than how we teach our young people. That is setting in place the ideas and the mores of the next generation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org.
click the Concordia University online logo, and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. ISSUESETC.org and click Concordia University Wisconsin online.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.